Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The first chapter in the Gospel according to St. John, the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus came as a light in the dark, and the darkness did not appreciate the change. To put it another way, the evangelist goes on to say that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus was not understood or welcomed even by those who ought to have understood and welcomed him as their long-awaited Lord. These statements at the beginning of the gospel are something of an epilogue of the gospel that happens in the first few verses, a story about Jesus' life where the ending comes at the beginning almost. As we read through the gospel according to St. John, we should not wonder that people do not understand him, because we were told that this would happen. We were told to expect that in the first 11 verses of the first chapter. We knew it was coming. In the gospel, Jesus performs 7 miracles, gospel according to St. John, called signs. At the end of the gospel, we're told that these things were told about Jesus so that we would believe on him. So that the darkness that remains in us would be open to the light of Christ. The first sign was the wedding of Cana, and the second is the one that we've read in the gospel for today. In the first, the wedding had run out of wine, and now in chapter 4, it seems to be a much more serious situation. We're not about to run out of wine, but a young man is about to run out of breath. A child is about to die, and surely this time Jesus will say, quick, take me to him. This is an emergency. Yes, I resisted turning water into wine. You remember him saying, it's not my hour. What have I to do with thee, my mother, woman? But this is an emergency. We've got a sick boy here who's about to die, and anyone who is creating a fictional character called Jesus and wanted him to one day fit into the Marvel Comics movies one day would have him racing to the scene. But what does Jesus actually say? He says in almost a cynical tone, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Just think about that answer for a moment. If you drove yourself to a physician and said, I think I'm pretty sick, please do something for me. And in response, the doctor said to you, you're not sure I can heal you. Can't, are you? And you'd probably respond, actually, I don't care if you can heal me, but if you can't, tell me quick so I can go find someone who can, because I'm not here for you. I'm here for me. With any other physician, I'm not here for you. I'm for me. Would be an appropriate thing to say. But when the physician is the great physician, the hierarchy of concerns ought to change. For people that just want what they want, that's not easy to understand. You might even say that when Jesus came, he was like a light shining on people fumbling in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You could say it was like Jesus came to his own people as their Lord, and his people did not receive him. Jesus did not come to make mankind even more attached to health and prosperity. When we say to him, I'm not here for you, I'm here for me, you can see why his response is not so excited. He came to suffer for the sake of the sins of others and find followers to imitate him. Jesus saw that the real concern of the man and his dying son ought to have been the concern of St. John's entire gospel, that they would believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing they might have life through his name. And yet they thought it was to see miracles and wonders, benefiting their own self-interest. For a regular doctor to find it concerning that his patient did not believe in him would be a ridiculous scene. Such a doctor can only benefit the body, and that's the only reason you go to them. But Jesus finds it concerning that his patient is only interested in the health of the body, not life in him. That was concerning to him. In 1943, psychologist Abraham Maslow wrote a paper published in Psychological Review entitled A Theory of Human Motivation, which includes something of a chart that looks like a triangle with a hierarchy of needs. It is a model that's been used ever since to illustrate how there are certain needs that human beings seek to have met first: air, water, food, shelter, etc., followed by secondary needs: security, employment, health, then tertiary needs: friends, family, and so on, all the way up to, if you've got time for it, self-actualization, which I resist. I will submit to you that Jesus, and later on his disciples, and especially the Apostle Paul, to the great puzzlement of those who were near him, challenged the hierarchy. A man with a dying son comes to Jesus. He comes what he thinks is with a first level concern. And Jesus only reluctantly heals the boy. He knows there's a more important need. That is the spiritual life. Jesus is reluctant to heal because he knows that with each healing and with each miracle, these tend only to reinforce people's sense that the most important things are physical health, clothing, provisions, the like. A miracle in one of these areas may bring a person to God, rejoicing and repentant, and it may not. And more often than not, we must admit, a miracle produces fresh requests for new miracles. Consider the endless stream of weaknesses that God allows his people to suffer without resolving the situation. And you can start with the most obvious, the crucifixion of our Lord. Move then on to the martyrdom of the apostles. Consider then the thorn in St. Paul's flesh that is not removed, but instead the statement of God, "My strength is made perfect in weakness," is offered. See throughout the whole Old Testament how the last are made first and the first are made last. But for today, especially if you don't believe me about how God works, consider the manner in which St. Paul is talking about arming people for battle. We've heard it in the Old Testament passage from Isaiah, and it is enhanced in St. Paul's epistle, getting them set for the conflict of humanity. The armor. St. Paul says you should begin by having your loins girt about with truth. Your under armor. Truth. How is that going to hurt an enemy? The enemy asks us our position and we tell them the truth. The enemy asks us where our strength lies and we tell them the truth. The enemy asks our stand on right and wrong and we tell them the truth. This truth had better be good because it's going to get us in trouble. A real crafty person would be willing to say anything for an advantage. Now, that's a battle strategy, but we just stick to the truth. Well, maybe the next piece of armor will make us stronger. St. Paul says we need to be like God and have on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness in battle. If we're going to win in battle, shouldn't we have the breastplate of ruthlessness? Shouldn't we set out to win at all costs? Righteousness only holds us back. When you are righteous, there are certain things you won't do, certain things you refuse to do. Righteous people are predictable, and because of that, very vulnerable. That does not sound like strength. Let's have another piece of armor, please. The shield of faith. Faith, which extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the enemy, is at least a good defense, but it's really just trusting someone else. That's a hard battle strategy. Real faith is carelessness. Not carelessness, but without cares. We often pray to cast all our cares on him who cares for us, and that no clouds of this mortal life would hide from us the light of that love which is immortal. Think of Jesus on the boat, sleeping in the midst of a storm. It was frustrating for the disciples to see him peaceful in the midst of tumult. But faith is like that. Faith is our shield. But at least we have a sword. That's every kid's favorite part of any costume that involves a weapon. And surely that's the part we're looking for when we hear about the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that's how we'll bash him. We'll use biblical words that they'll never forget the drubbing that they've received at our hands. We'll quote chapter and verse like David throwing stones at Goliath. So let's listen to the battle master, Jesus, as he gives us verses we can quote. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought, in other words, be careless. Take no thought of how or what you shall speak, for it will be given you in that selfsame hour. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Jesus Christ himself, when we see him at his own trial being accused, often answers not a single word until he's good and ready. And when he answers, he is not immediately released. He is crucified for his answers. The word that was true, that was righteous, that was full of faith and salvation and the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the readiness of the gospel, if any feet were ever ready. That pure strength of God was made perfect in weakness. The whole armor of God may very well make a man more vulnerable to the world. And it is folly to arm yourself that way, we might say, unless it is true what St. Paul says in the first verses of this passage. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. More than one of the church fathers say that there is nothing that the demonic realm fears more than meekness. Jesus, St. Paul, the apostles were and are only secondarily concerned with whether they were physically healed, physically protected, physically supplied for. And John insists that the whole gospel is written not so that we would be healed and prosperous, but rather so we would believe in Jesus Christ. Every doctor knows that we've not come to the office just to see them. We've come to get ourselves healed. But with Jesus, the situation is very different. Jesus has within him the power to heal, but the miracles and healings are done in order that you will believe and come just to see him. What Jesus Christ does in your life is light shining in darkness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, yes, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Do you see the power of God in the midst of perishing? Do you comprehend what's happening? Do you believe, or do we just want one more miracle? Jesus this day is coming unto his own. Will his own receive him? And do you think that it is right for us at this late date to ask for another sign? We're frustrated with him, but does Jesus have more of a reason to be frustrated with us? We can get even more personal. People in this church have been healed. People in this church have walked away from car crashes that they should not have walked away from. More than one or two people in this church have been clinically dead and brought back to life. We have seen strokes, heart attacks, brain tumors, where people lived in a way that they shouldn't have afterwards. We have had miracle children in this church who should not exist, should not be alive and healthy, but are. We've seen miraculous conversions. We've seen financial miracles. We've seen those scans that come back from the doctor who says, I don't know where it went, but it's gone. Jesus said to the man, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What will be our excuse? We don't need a stronger armor. We don't need more light. We don't need another sign. We don't need another miracle even. We already know what to do, and we're in the right place to do it. Stand in awe. Kneel before the Lord. Repent of your rebellion and faithlessness and sin and receive forgiveness for it. Accept his merciful and renewed invitation. Partake of him by the means he's provided for us at this altar. And rest in carelessness. Come into his light. Receive him as your own. Worship Christ the King. Live under his protection. Breathe deeply. And depart in peace out into a dark world to love and serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have been given thee. Amen. Offer this day to the praise and glory of God, in communion with the full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, offered eternally to the Father on our behalf. In our Anglican Province of America prayer cycle, we offer prayers this day for St. Patrick's Mission in Brevard, North Carolina, and for for their rector, Father Nicholas Henderson, especially for their parish's continued recovery from the effects of the hurricane. We offer prayers this day for Amy, for Andra, for Art and Joy, for Neil, for Sandra, Morgan and Donald, for Ruth, Joe and Mary, for Jaswant and Cookie, for John and Jackie, Elizabeth, Dawn and Judy, for Anne, Marilyn, for Chuck and Carol, for Fred, for the King family and the Ewart family, for Father Henderson, Father Spencer, and for all those that we name the quietest of our hearts. The Holy Eucharist is also offered this day with special prayers for all of our clergy and congregations in Haiti and India and Ecuador and in the Philippines. We continue to pray for all pregnant mothers, for the safety of all unborn children, for our nation, for our community and our parish, for righteousness and truth, for peace and safety. We offer prayers for all those who suffer in the varying conflicts of our world, especially those that suffer in the conflict in the Middle East, and those who suffer in Ukraine and in Russia. We continue to pray for a speedy and peaceful end to those conflicts. We pray for all Christians who suffer persecution simply for their faith in Christ in the world today, praying especially for Nestor and Jagadish, as well as all Christians who suffer in North Korea, in China, in Afghanistan, especially in northern Nigeria. The Holy Eucharist is also offered this day for the peaceful repose of Connie and of Bishop Lassell, as well as all faithful departed. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord, and let light perpetual shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Pray, brethren, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. May the Lord receive the sacrifice of thy hands to the praise and glory of his name, to our benefit and that of all his church. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations, and to receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also so to direct and dispose the hearts of all Christian rulers, they may truly and impartially administer justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent, and our Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for that thou of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. We, thy humble servants, do celebrate and make here before thy divine majesty, with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, rendering unto thee most hearty thanks for the innumerable benefits procured unto us by the same. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and of thy almighty goodness vouchsafe to bless and sanctify with thy word and Holy Spirit these thy gifts and creatures of bread and wine, that we, receiving them according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that, by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And here we offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies, to be a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto thee. Humbly beseeching thee that we and all others who shall be partakers of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and made one body with him, that he may dwell in us, and we in him. And although we are unworthy, through our manifold sins, to offer unto thee any sacrifice, yet we beseech thee to accept this our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world,
grant us thy peace.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sins of the world.
Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak word only, and my soul shall be healed.
Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof,
but speak word only, and my soul shall be healed.
Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof,
but speak word only, and my soul shall be healed.
The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. Died for thee, but feel him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving.
Christ, which was given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting. For this is the remembrance of Christ's blood was shed for thee. Soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, feed on him in thy heart by faith. With thanks. Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. With this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee. For thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting. Take this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee. The word of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting. Take this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee. Soul unto everlasting. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee.
Let us pray.
Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou hast vouchsafed to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the visible body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs to hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of his most precious death and passion. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us pray. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Depart in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.